Good morning, this Shabbos. We're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tetzava and the biblical requirement to hear Parshas Zohar, which will, of course, also take place this coming Shabbos. What a fascinating week, of course. Learning in the Shul this week has been graciously sponsored by the Wengers in memory of Sarah Bas Mendel and by the Schwartz family in memory of Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Mechel, Zichrono Lebracha. And the Parsha begins, Viata, and you. Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears nowhere in Parshas Tetzave. Why not? So the Zohar Kaddish notes that this is the payment for Moshe Rabbeinu's request that if I am Mecheni Nami Sifrecha Asher Kasafta, that his name be stricken from the Torah, if Hashem couldn't forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Chet Egel. So Rav Gedalia Shor explains that when we speak to someone in an intimate fashion, the fact is we don't use a first name, and the same thing is true in this week's Parsha. When Hashem addresses Moshe after his willingness to sacrifice himself for the Jewish people, there's a unique intimacy between Moshe and Hashem. The Vav HaChibur of Vi'ata indicates that there's no separation between Hashem and Moshe. Moshe loses his name because his identity is no longer distinct from Hashem. It's as if Hashem and Moshe are so closely connected that there is no separation. In the language of Rosh Hashanah, there's no mechitza that divides them in the process. Lubavitcher Rebbe explains that a person's really name is not really his true essence. A name is not necessary for the person himself. Only one who uses his name is somebody else, and so that other people can call him. And we see that a person's name can be changed or added or even dropped. If a person doesn't get a name at birth, but only at the Mila for a person at the next time the Torah is read for a girl. So when we say vi'ata you, it's something higher than a name. It refers to the person himself, that which can't be limited by a name. And so when Hashem speaks to Moshe and he says vi'ata tetzave, what he means is that he's referring to the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to his qualities of leadership, not to his wisdom, not to his knowledge. He's pointing to Moshe, he's saying you, the source and origin of all these other qualities. And even though Moshe's name is not mentioned here at all, that's not true to be interpreted as something negative, that Hashem was punishing him, according to Lubavitcher Rebbe. Quite the opposite, because of his nesiris nefesh, his self-transcendence, his willingness to erase himself from the Torah for the sake of the Jews, the Torah reveals him as he is in his essence. He's an Atta. He transcends his name and all of his attributes and qualities. We're also told that you shouldn't disconnect the choshen from the ephod. Rabbi Nachman Zion Sachs explains that the ephod represents hard work and toil, and the choshen, which has the Urim V'Tumim, represents spiritual matters. And the prohibition is symbolic of how we should operate our lives. We make sure that the Torah and the avod of our lives work together in harmony. There has to be a balance that's stricken. We're told, we're told that in Parshas Pekudei, in that Parsha, we're told the place that sits on the Tcheles. In Parshas Pekudei, it seems to be Be'enu'al Apsil Tcheles, that the Tcheles was on top of the Tcheles, was on top of the Tzitz. And the question has to be raised, was the Tzitz on top of the Tcheles? Was the Tcheles on top of the Tzitz? And Ramosha explains, Ramosha Feinstein, that Tchelis represents growth in steps. The Tzitz represents great moments of inspiration. And sometimes we have to grow in steps to reach great heights. And sometimes the great moments of inspiration come first, and then we need to continue afterwards upwards in small steps to continue to grow. And both steps are highlighted in this Tzitz Tchelis debate. We're told, Rachasto Sambamoyim, we're told that when it came time to go ahead and prepare the Kohanim, Moshe Rabbeinu was to go ahead and send him to the mikveh. Rosh Hashanah explained that similar to the tefillah of a ger before putting on Big Day Kahuna, the fact is that the Kohanim go to the mikveh. Both are gaining a higher level of Kedusha, so both need to go to the mikveh. It's also why the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh in between each group of Begadim on the Yom Kippur, because once he takes off each set of Big Day Kahuna, he's lost his higher Kedusha status and needs to do tefillah before putting on the other Begadim. We're told, Reach Nichoach Askaras Ala Hashem. We're also told that this is supposed to be a pleasing fragrance for Hashem. So Eliezer Ashkenazi notes that the Reach HaNichoach is merely opportunity. We shouldn't think that just because something smells good, it's accepted. That's a little bit crazy. Instead, it's all dependent on tshuva. This is why the smell is used as in a metaphor. It's just because there's something that has a good smell nearby doesn't mean that the whole process is incomplete. We're also told Asher Otesi Osamei Eretz Mitzrayim L'Shachni B'Sarachem, and Rashi notes that Hashem took us out to dwell among us. And the Ramban adds that the idea of Asheras Hashchina is a desire of Hashem. Rishol Yisraeli explained that what the Jews of the Galus have to lose when considering their spiritual lives is that Hashem sees the ideal place for spiritual dwelling to be Eretz Yisrael. He added that living in Israel is not for the financial, economic, or social advantages. Life in Israel and true religious Zionism is built on the idea that we each see purpose of life to live with Hashem's Shekhinah about us and around us. Finally, in the Haftorah, which we'll read this week, which is the Haftorah for Parsha Zachor, we're told that Vayishamai Shaul Asa'am Vayifkidim Batalayim. Shaul brought the people together and encountered them by Atalayim. The Radak explains that he counted them on Pesach using the number of animals that were used for the Korban Pesach groups, and so it seems that when the people went to war, it was immediately after the first day of Pesach. So what's the connection between Pesach and the Battle of Amalek? So the Yisachar explains that when it comes from the reminder to remember Amalek on the path it was when you left Mitzrayim. Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger Shlita added that this connection also explains why Esther chose to wait one long day before putting her request to Achashverosh. She knew that Haman's ancestor Agag lost to the Jews on the day after Pesach, and so thus she knew it was a day that the Jews could beat a Haman of their generation once again. We are Zocha this Shabbos to have many, many opportunities to be Mekayim Mitzvos. One of them is the Mitzvah of Zachor. And may our Kodesh Baruch Hu make sure that we are Mekayim in the Mitzvah of Zachor, that we experience the Kibbutz Galios, and may our Kadosh Baruch Hu bring all sorts of great things always and to all. Shabbat Shalom to all, and to all a Shabbat Shalom.